All right, I hope you got your Bible tonight. We're going to finish up on the study of the Holy Spirit. And we spent several weeks on this. You can go on and on and on. But if you turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And put your finger there. And then turn to Ephesians. Acts 4, 31. And then Ephesians 3. Acts 4, 31. Ephesians 3. While you turn there, I'll rehearse some things. We know, we've studied, and we know that the Holy Spirit is equal to God. Very simple verse on that was Matthew 28:19. He says, go ye into all the world. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Those three are one and they're equal. And so we know he's equal. He's God. We know that he convicts. I talked a lot about that. He convicts. He draws sinners to Christ. He doesn't draw them to himself. If you see these TV programs and all they emphasize is the Holy Spirit, that's not what he does. He convicts, he converts, and he comforts. Jesus said he wouldn't speak of himself, but he would speak of the Son. So he's going to draw sinners to the Savior. And so we know he converts saviors. Look at Acts, now that you got those two, turn back to Acts. And in Acts chapter 1, we read it. And I'll read it to you again in verse 5. He said, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So we know through that baptism into the body of Christ that he doesn't just call sinners and save them, but he converts them. He converts you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, see. So we know that. We know he doesn't just save you and leave you hanging out there. Amen. And say, now you get better. No, sir. He converts you. He gives you a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. And he said this is a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. So the Holy Ghost, he doesn't just call us and then save us and say, all right, now hang on, hang in there. No, sir. He works through us and in us and on us, and he converts us from one kind of person to another. we say it all the time, and we really shouldn't use the phrase as much as we do. We say, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. No, no. When you got saved, you became a saint. Amen. Go back and read the Bible. He doesn't say unto the sinners at Ephesus. He says to the saints, amen? He writes to the saints in Thessalonica. He writes to the saints down at Corinth. He doesn't write to the sinners. The Holy Ghost converted us from sinner to saint, see? And so the Holy Spirit did that. You didn't do that. You didn't just quit stuff and turn over a new leaf. We used to go fishing when I was a little boy down at the old creek. We had to go through a cow pasture, and every time we wanted some worms, we'd just go up there in them old leaves and flip over a leaf, and we'd find a worm. So if you just turn over a new leaf, you're just going to find new worms. That's all you're going to do. Amen. He converted you. He made you into a new creature. Don't say I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Say, no, I was a sinner, and I'm saved by grace, so that makes me a saint. Amen. And you'll feel better about yourself if you do that too, by the way. A lot of, especially Baptists, I've heard Baptist preachers do it. They'll just beat themselves up, you know, I ain't no good, and ain't none of us no good, we just low down, all this stuff. Well, we were, but such were ye, but ye are washed, and you've been renewed. Now you're a saint. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see all that stuff you're emphasizing. He sees a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I didn't mean to spend that much time on it. We're rehearsing, okay? He comforts, he consoles, he encourages, he empowers, he seals, He secures believers into the body of Christ. And we've already talked about all that. That's what the Holy Ghost is there for. That's what He does, see. And He lives in each one of us. The Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And that's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. And so, if you will, look at now Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I got you called up. There in verse 31, He says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. And if you look, verse 32, a multitude believed because of it. So we know that his presence in a believer is evidence of the new birth. It's evidence because He works in us and through us. And then if you'll look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. If somebody doesn't know the Holy Spirit, they're probably not saved. Ephesians 3. Look at verse 5. How can God live in you and you not know it? Oh my goodness. Ephesians 4. Look at it. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, look, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You don't have to be deceived. There's a new doctrine comes out every day. Somebody's writing books every day. This guy said, he wrote a book, How to Make $1 Million. And he made $1 Million. And it had one page. You opened it up and it said, write a book on how to make $1 Million and you'll make $1 Million. and doctrinal, man, there's all kinds of, you turn on the radio, the internet's full of it, man. We shouldn't be tossed about with all that stuff. If God lives in you, look at it again, we'll henceforth be no more children. Now, I can fool a kid, but I'm a grown man. It's hard to fool me now, amen? And so look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, the love of God will grow you. It'll grow you. He said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. They don't even make music anymore. You turn on the radio, and most of that stuff's so shallow and simple, and it's about 6 or 7 words. I'm talking about contemporary, not Christian music. They used to sing songs, you know, about going to war or coming home, or sing songs about a man and a woman. You know, when a man loves a woman, he'll sleep outside in the rain, all that stuff. They don't do that anymore. They just write about 7 words and say them over and over to some kind of stupid beat that's made on a computer. It ain't even made on real musical instruments. And that's what he's saying right there. In the vanity of their mind, they think they're doing something. They think they know something. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, you can't have the Holy Spirit of God living in you and be blind and be ignorant to the things of God. It's impossible. God won't let that happen. That's why He gave you the Holy Ghost. Amen? Read on. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's a big word for a Lancaster boy like me. Here's what it means. Loose living morally. Loose living morally. Now, I'm not going to get in politics, but I read the other day they was criticizing Donald Trump's wife because she's his third wife. Her morals ain't real good. And I said the same crowd that lifts up the LGBT crowd is criticizing that. You know why? Look at it again. Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. but ye have not so learned Christ. Now here's what I'm saying. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, according to my Bible, when I received Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in. His Spirit came in me. And on many occasions, I've gotten off by myself and I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and empowered to do a work for God, and win souls, preach, do works for God. And on other occasions, I've been comforted, consoled, I have been encouraged, I have been blessed, I have been fellowshipping with God Himself through the Holy Spirit of God, which lives in me. And that produces the love of God, which changes me. It's the love of God that brings men to repentance. That's what will bring you, make you say, this is wrong, that's right. The love of God will make you say, this is wrong, that's right, I need to turn. That's repentance, and go this way instead of that way. The love of God through the Holy Ghost, and that's the only way I feel His love. He's got to live in me for that, see. Our churches are full of people who know nothing about the Spirit of God because they've never met Him. They have never met Him. I don't care if you was 8 years old when you got saved. You met the Spirit of God that day and you knew it. You knew it. Now, you might not have understood everything that happened that day, but you knew God met you that day. And if you've been saved any amount of time and you've dealt with God and the Spirit of God's dealt with you, you've met the Holy Spirit. He's dealt with you. He's comforted you. He's convicted you. He's converted you. He's encouraged you. The Holy Spirit does that. And that's God. And you knew that. And since you've been saved, if you've ever prayed and said, God, make me a witness. Give me power. I need to talk to these people over here. Lord, give me the words. Put the words in my mouth. Give me a new tongue. Give me the words to say that these people will understand it and speak through me to where they'll hear you, not me. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They heard God. They didn't hear those people. And so therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, we know it. When He comes on us, surrounded in, baptized in, filled, whatever you want to call it, we know it. Billy, those things can't happen. You not know it. I firmly believe there's only about 10% of professing Christianity has ever met God. I believe they've met the church. I believe they've met religion. I believe they've met morality. A lot of them live pretty good lives. But so has the Muslim. And so has the Hindu. And so has whoever else, you know, trying to live good enough to go to heaven. But his presence... Acts 2.38. I don't know if I already read that or not. Turn over. Acts 2.38. His presence... Then Peter said unto them, after he preached, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And look at this. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, His presence in a believer is evidence of salvation. Amen. Now, my wife says I need to be more careful because it goes on the internet, but I'm sorry. Truth's truth. Amen. If you repented, that means you had a change of mind, turned from you and everything you wanted, your sin, turned to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's biblical repentance. The Holy Spirit dealt with you. He drew you to that point. He convicted you of that point. He convinced you of what the truth was. And then when you turned to it, you received it. He converted you to the truth and saved you. And He moved in you that day. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. That day. Now, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. So I know He's talking about the Holy Spirit. His Spirit came in me that day. Now... Brother Jeffrey, that's like being able to breathe and not being able to breathe. If I'm alive, I know it because I'm breathing. And there's a lot of people who are spiritually dead and don't even know it because they're not spiritually breathing, because they've never received the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and they don't even know Him. They don't know nothing about it. The pulpits are full. In America, the pulpits are full of preachers and pastors and evangelists who know nothing about the power and the presence of a holy God in their life. Pulpits are full of them. And I'm not being mean to preachers. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry. I just thank God He led me the ways He did, because if He didn't, I didn't know anything. But the good thing is I didn't have to unlearn anything either. I wasn't raised in a dead denomination, a dead church, and have to turn away from all that and turn against all that and forget a bunch of that stuff. Amen? Thank God. Amen. The presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer is evidence of the new birth, Acts 2:38. Simple. Simple as you can get. Now, also, I thought about this. He fills the believer, and the number one reason He fills us is for witnessing. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Now, I know He fills us, and we have the joy of the Lord and all these things, but the primary reason for the power and the presence and the filling of the Holy Ghost, look at this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of people and elders of Israel." Now, Acts 4:8. Yeah, he got filled with the Spirit, and he stood up in front of people, and he feared neither man nor king nor person nor personality or position. He didn't even see that anymore. He was filled with the presence of God, and it said the rulers and everybody. And we're talking about religious people here. We're not talking about drunks and drug addicts down at the jailhouse. He stood up in front of religious people and preached the Word of God to them under the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were convicted of their sins. Amen. Amen. And boy, you get that kind of preaching. That's what we need back in the seminaries. They don't have that in the seminaries anymore. They don't have that in Bible colleges anymore. Well, a few do, but not very many. Now, so he fills us for witnessing. He fills the believer for leadership. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Look at verse 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." That's where most Baptists stop, right there. "Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Amen. Now, God's Holy Spirit fills men and women for particular positions in the body of Christ as leaders in that position. God does that. God, the Holy Ghost, does that. You can't have a deacon who doesn't be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's going to be running on his good report, not the Spirit of God. The average Baptist church, when they have deacon time to get deacons, it's a popularity contest. I know. I'd been saved 1 year and they nominated me for deacon. I wasn't no more fit to be a deacon. I barely was teaching Sunday school, Brother Billy. I couldn't control your crowd. How was I supposed to help run a church? I had them little old boys in that class bouncing off the walls and everything. I couldn't be no deacon. And by the way, they didn't choose me. They chose another man who knew less of the Bible than I did, because he was a successful businessman. He had a good report in the community. He had a good bank account. And the Holy Spirit fills us for leadership. He don't fill you just so you can sit and soak. He fills you for specific purpose and a place of leadership. It may be the head of your house. It may be the mother of your children. It may be a position at work. It may be, but all of it works to the glory of God and back to the body of Christ. Every bit of that will add to the body of Christ. Every bit of it. And then, listen, he fills believers for strength. Look at Acts chapter 7. Look at verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Now let me tell you something. That deacon needed some help. This was a preaching deacon, by the way, Stephen. Preaching deacon. And they stoned him. And he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus, not sitting on the right hand of God, but standing. And you don't read that anywhere else in the Scripture. The Bible says he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. I think he was standing up there cheering him on. "You go ahead, boy. That's one of mine right there. Stone him if you want to, but he's mine." Amen. gave him a standing ovation, cheering him on. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've been saved since 1978. And I've been in times in my Christian life where I needed somebody to pick me up and push me and encourage me and pat me on the back and say, don't give up now. Hey, the sun's coming up in the morning. God ain't dead. He's still alive. He's still doing things. Don't quit now. Just around the next curve, you're going to see what I got for you. Just hang in there. Let me help you a little bit. And the Holy Ghost encourages us. That's why I say a lot of times I'll go to the hospital and people will be sick or dying or something. And I look at them and I can tell you, they don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have the encouragement. I know that we all go through hard times and we weep and we cry at times, but I know that the Holy Ghost of God gives me the peace that passes all understanding too. He stills those troubled waters. Amen. Hey, it may not look any better, but on the inside it feels good. Amen. And you know in the morning everything's going to be fine. Right around the next curve it's going to get better. Amen. And so he gives us strength. Now, I have been places where they wouldn't let me pray because they didn't want to talk about dying. You know why? They knew they didn't have the strength to go through that. But they still had to die. Or their loved one had to die. And what they needed was to let somebody that knew the Holy Ghost pray for them that they might feel His comfort and His power, even if they didn't know Him. You know, sinners can feel the power and the presence and comfort of the Holy Ghost off of you. They can get a little comfort off of you. I've had preachers call me and ask me to preach funeral. And I said, well, you're a church member. Why don't you preach it? And this, I ain't bragging on me. I'm just telling you. Well, you can do it better than I can. You do those things good. And I want to say, well, let me call you when there's a wedding because I hate weddings. Pomp and circumstance. Ain't in the Bible. I said, I can bury them. They can't mess that up. But if you marry them, they can get divorced next week. Amen? When you're dead, you're dead. They ain't messing up. You can't mess up your funeral, but you, 2 weeks later, I married people a month later, they were divorced. Not divorced, but separated. Amen. Hey, sometimes you need some strength. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit, the doctor's got a lot of prescriptions for you. He likes to write them too. Because he gets paid for office visits. Tests. Sister Hazel, you was talking about getting tests. That's how they make a living. Running tests and writing prescriptions. A lot of times people say, preacher, pray for me. I got these tests. The doctor said I got to have these tests. Well, it's just a test. He's trying to make a living off you. He's going to make money for referring you to those people that do that test. He's making a good living. Now, don't worry about the test. Wait till you get the results. And 9 times out of 10, it was just a test. It was just a test so he could make some more money. Amen? A man's got to make a living. I don't begrudge him for that. But if you want strength, you better go see the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, listen to this. Acts 13:9. Turn over there real quick. We done run out of time. Deborah, you got to go. Is it 5 after yet? Acts 13:9. It's getting close. We got to hurry. Acts 13:9. You'll tell me that every week. I preach so much faster. Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all sability and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? The Holy Ghost in the believer gives us special discernment. Amen. He does. Well, you judging me. That's why he gave me discernment. Come on. You better ask the Holy Ghost to give you discernment. That's why so many shipwrecked today. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't have that discernment, and they walked blindly into something that looked real good. Looked real good on the outside. But when they got in, they realized they went in without God. And Paul looked over at that hypocrite, that sorcerer, and he said, "You're just full of the devil. That's what your problem is. You're full of lies and the devil." And by the way, it doesn't matter what your reputation is. Every once in a while, you need to look at folks like that and say, "You're just full of the lying devil. That's what's wrong with you. You're a liar. You're full of the devil. Leave me alone. Get away from here." You say, "Well, I'm afraid that I'll run them off." Where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? They're already going to hell. Maybe they might get convicted if you did it. "Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. They might never come back." You might be better off if they didn't come back. Amen. There's some people going to hell, whether you believe it or not, and they're not going to get saved. And no matter how much you let them run over you and use you and abuse you, they're still not going to get saved. You need to get that. You already know it. The Holy Ghost has already told you. He's already told you. That light went on. That bell went off. You knew it. Something was... But you didn't say nothing. Now, what you need to do is pray and say, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so the next time I'm around that devil, I'll tell him." Amen. Amen. So I'll tell him. I thought Christians were supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be harmless as doves, but wise as what? Amen. That snake is subtle. And boy, he knows where to go and where don't go. And that's the same way we're supposed to be. Look, we can be humble and have humility and still be full of the Holy Ghost and see things wrong and call them out for what they are. I'll give you a good example. I'm Republican. I'm going to vote Republican. I don't feel real good about myself in that area right now, but I watched that convention. They had a Sikh. Do you know what a Sikh is? They prayed. He's some kind of Hindu or something. Got up there and prayed to some... My good God, didn't hear that prayer. Then they had a Muslim, another night, get up there and pray. God didn't hear that prayer. You say, "Preacher, you ought not say stuff like..." My wife says, "Don't say stuff like that. You offend people. I can't have no friends. You run my friends off. People leave the church." But the Holy Ghost gives you discernment. You ought to say something. Sometimes you look at people, you can tell they're abusing their children. You ought to look at them and say, "Look, you need to treat your children better." Amen. Amen. You need to tell them. God didn't put you there for nothing. Did you know there's nobody in our lives that God didn't put there?
You're exactly right.
Every one of them. And you ought to pray this: "Lord, let me cross the path of someone that Jesus would help today."
Amen.
And look, if people... Here's what people do. They'll tell you, they say, "Well, I'm a Christian," and you look at them and you know good and well they're not. What you need to do is just as nice and humble as you know how, say, "How you know?" And then they're going to go through this litany of church membership and good works and all that stuff, or they had a feeling one day, you know, they got a cold chill. You say, "Well, I don't know about all that. Let me tell you how I know that I'm saved." And when you do that, you're convicting them of their lost condition. You know they ain't saved. "Well, he ain't supposed to judge." Yeah, you are. You are. He wouldn't give you discernment if you wasn't supposed to judge. Discernment means being able to tell right from wrong, good from bad. All right, last verse, 1 John 2:6. Deborah's got to go. She's 5 minutes over. 1 John 2:6, and this is it, I promise this is it. "He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself to walk even as he walked." Now the Holy Ghost does that. He's forming Christ in us. He's making us. Now don't misunderstand me. Y'all listen to this and don't leave here and say something I didn't say. He's forming Christ in us. He's making us Christ-like. He's making us more like Christ. That's why they called them Christians. That was a derogatory term when they did it. now, so he's forming Christ in me. So you know what that means, Brother Jeffrey? If I have the Holy Spirit living in me and he's living in there and he's working, then sooner or later, that light's got to shine through. And I'm going to be more Christ-like. Now, I'm not always everything I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. And glory to God, ain't what I'm going to be. Amen?
Amen?
But I want to be Christ-like, and I can't do that without the Spirit of God.
Right.
You can't either. You can go all the clubs, all the meetings, all the seminars, everything else, but without the Holy Ghost of God in you, working out of you, you're just going to be a form. It's going to be appearance. It's not going to be real. See?
Right.
Well, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. You ought to get to know Him. You know what you ought to do? You ought to talk to Him. I talk to Him. I'll be somewhere and I'll say, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Holy Spirit, guide me.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I'm fixing to talk to this guy. Speak through me. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do here. Help me. Teach me what to do right here, right now. Teach me what to do.
Fill me.
Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God that